This is quite an experience. One thing, when you do your testimony, when you write your testimony, look back over the years, you're reminded of the faithfulness of God. It brings back all the memory. Lord, you have been so faithful all these years. And I just want to thank him for his goodness and his faithfulness. And, it starts off World War II. My dad and mom were married, and dad had joined up with the service. And so he was off to boot camp, as we were hearing about this morning. And he was at the boot camp, and while there, he fixed the general's his Jeep. It would have been his Jeep. No one else could fix it. Everybody else had a try at fixing it, and no one else could repair it. So my dad looked at it, tinkered around for a while, and he repaired it. Well, the next thing he knew, the general had sent him off to officers' training school at Camp Borden. So that was quite an experience for him. And I don't know how long it took, but he eventually became a captain. But with my dad going overseas, it left my mother and I at home, and my uncle, my mother's brother, took us in. So there were eight of us living in a seven-room house in Toronto with one bathroom. So that was quite an experience. But we got along very well. He didn't have any problems. Everybody, just did very well. But we had my grandmother, my mom, Aunt Bertha visited, and myself and my brother, Ronnie. Upstairs and downstairs was Uncle Bill, his wife, Aunt Bertha, and their two boys, Billy and David. So it was quite an experience. It was wonderful because we were all Christians, and it was a wonderful atmosphere to be raised in, and we all went to the same church. And so it was a wonderful fellowship. And of course, the dominant person in our lives was our grandmother. We called her Nana. And she was a woman who walked with the Lord. You could feel the presence of the Lord when you were with her. And I used to crawl in bed early in the morning and say, "Nana, tell me about when you were a little girl over in England, and tell me some of the stories." And so she would go back and tell me about how in England the snowdrops would grow so beautifully, and then experiences she had trying to get home in time to beat the tide, get over the river before the tide came, and just these stories of her life, but also of her love for the Lord, and taught us about Jesus. And so this is the atmosphere we grew up. Of course, we went to church all the time, too, on their Sundays, and most all-day Sunday we were there together. And then in 1946, my dad returned home from the Army. Now, I hadn't seen my dad. He came home once when I was 6 months old, and that was the last I had seen him. So we went down to Union Station to meet him at the train, and somebody just handed me to him and put me in his arms. I thought, who is this man that's holding me? And my mother said, "Well, this is your daddy." "Who's my daddy?" It was just so strange to me because I'd never seen him before. And so it took some time for my brother and I to get to know him and just having been in the military, very disciplined. Oh my, you know, you don't say no. Just when you're told to do something, yep, that's the way it is. But he was very loving too, and we had a wonderful time together. Then Dad decided it was too much for all of us to be in this big house, this seven-room house together, so he better find another place for us to live. He got a job with the TTC, and we bought a house in East York, and so my brother and mom and I moved there, and then it was there that my sister Susan was born. And so we had some wonderful times together, good experiences. As growing up as a teenager, we moved back to North Toronto in the early, in the 50s, and it was time when we'd been going through teenage years, and you begin to go to high school and make other friends. And our background was different because we didn't go to movies. We were not allowed to go to the movies or dances and that sort of thing. So it was different. And going into high school, you're exposed to a lot of new things that kids are different, you know, and you're just, you know, learning lots of things. And I'd go to the corner restaurant with the kids after school, and we'd, you know, have a Coke or whatever, Pepsi, and sit around and talk. But just never really felt that I fit in there. You know, I just, I tried to smoke. I couldn't smoke. Just choked and carried on. So I'm glad I never did pick it up. But then in October of 1957, our tornado came into our lives. And it was a dark, curly-haired young man who suddenly appeared at Hope Gospel Church, who was begrudgingly brought by his parents to attend. And he wasn't very happy about the whole situation. He was so angry he wouldn't even sit with his parents. I think he sat two or three seats in front of them. But it was a good service because the young people were taking charge of it. They were giving a report on a retreat we'd been on for a weekend giving a report on what the Lord had done in their lives and just the experiences they had had. And it was then David said that he began to warm up and to... his heart was opened and melted as he was hearing these experiences of what God can do in a person's life. So after the service, I had to read the scripture that night. After the service, he went to my cousin David, greeted him at the service and said, well, so nice to have you. Come back again. He says, well, who is that girl that was reading the Bible? He said, well, oh, that was my cousin. And he said, well, I'd like to meet her. Well, if you come to Young People's, I'll introduce you to her. So David came to Young People's, and we were introduced. And we became good friends. And we began dating, and it just seemed to stick. It was about two or three Sundays after that the Lord touched David's heart, and he went forward and received Jesus Christ as his Savior. Well, I saw such a change in him, just a transformation in his personality and just what God had done. And he was just different. He was happy. He was at school telling his friends about what the Lord had done in his life, witnessing to them about Jesus. And it was just a wonderful time. So time went on, and I guess it was about a year or so later, he was in the Davisville subway station. I wasn't with him. It was after a church service. I had been to another church with my mom and dad. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Get to work." Well, he told me this on the phone when I got home. He says, "You know, the Lord told me to get to work." And I says, "Well, what does that mean?" But he began to think about it, and he had an interest in tracts, giving out these tracts and getting that information out to people. So he started the tract ministry. He even built a tract rack in his bedroom to buy all these tracts and stack them. And he paid for them out of his own money, too. He was working part-time at A&P, and he was doing these tracts, too. So our Saturday night dates were standing on the street corner handing out tracts to people. So really exciting. But he was just so gung-ho, just so committed to it. And he even got the young people of the church involved to do this. And so then it wasn't too much longer after that. I went to high school, of course. We all went to high school. And after a four-year commercial course, I was hired to work at a finance company. But one day my Aunt Bertha said to me, "Carolyn, would you be interested in going to Bible college?" And I thought about it. Well, I don't know. But I thought about it, and I decided to go. Aunt Bertha, see, worked at the Bible college. She was a cook in the kitchen, and she just loved it there. The atmosphere, the kids, she loved them. They became a part of her life. And she wanted us to know what this was like. So I went, and shortly after, David followed, and he joined up too.